الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode where we discuss the biography of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the blessed seerah of beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And inshallah, in today's episode, we are going to discuss the events pertaining to the 7th year after Hijrah, meaning these are the events, the noteworthy events that took place 7 years after our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwarah. And inshallah, stay with us, dear viewers. And inshallah, before we begin with today's topic, let's recite Durood as-Salam in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the ones closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me in the world. So let's recite together. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dhuqarad was an area situated on the outskirts of Madina Munawwara, where the camels belonging to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would graze. Abdul Rahman ibn Uyayna ibn Hisn al-Fazari, who was from the Ghitfan tribe, along with some accomplices, raided the pastures of Al-Bayda and fled with 20 camels belonging to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers, a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, noted by the name of Sayyidina Salama ibn Aqwa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the first to come to know of this and shouted, raised the alarm and took off after the thieves, firing arrows as he did so. The chase was successful and Sayyidina Salama radiallahu ta'ala anhu was able to retrieve all of the camels and collect 30 shawls which the enemies had discarded in order to distract him. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived with the men, Sayyidina Salama radiallahu ta'ala submitted, Ya Rasulullah, I have not let them drink water and they are all thirsty. Send an army after them. They will be captured. Subhanallah. And dear viewers, it so happened that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, we now have our camels. Look at the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that although the chase would have been successful if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent an army to capture them, but our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at his mercy. He says, and he responded, we now have our camels, so you should treat the thieves with kindness. Allahu Akbar. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requested of Sayyidina Salama radiallahu ta'ala to sit behind him on his camel as they returned to Madinah Munawwara. Imam Bukhari radiallahu ta'ala mentions that this incident took place 3 days before the Muslim army departed from the battle of Khaybar. Subhanallah. Khaybar is a city, dear viewers. Let's learn more about this battle that occurred at this place of Khaybar. Khaybar is a city situated at 8 Manazil near Madinah Munawwara, to the north of Madinah Munawwara. It was a very rich and fertile area, lush with date palm orchards, as well as the center for the Jews of Arabia. Amongst them, the Jews of Khaybar were the strongest, richest and best equipped and the most accomplished in battle. Due to their affluence and prowess in battle, they were extremely conceited and notorious enemies of Islam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. The Jews had constructed many strong forts and around Khaybar, the ruins of which can still be found today. And dear viewers, when did the battle of Khaybar occur? The question arises, when was this battle fought? All historians unanimously agree that the battle of Khaybar took place in the month of Muharram, However, there is a difference of opinion as to whether it occurred in the 6th year or the 7th year. Perhaps the reason for this difference is that some historians regarded the month of Muharram as the beginning of Hijri calendar and therefore regarded 7th Hijri to begin in Muharram, whilst others, they list Rabiul Awwal Sharif as the beginning of the Hijri year due to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Hijra being taken in this month. Thus, according to the latter, the battle ensued in the 6th after Hijra, taking place for 2 months, whilst as we do follow the system where the Islamic year begins from the month of Muharram, therefore the 7th year after Hijra is more accurate. Let's, inshallah, learn more about this battle. Why? What was the reason, dear viewers, that this battle occurred in the first place? It has been previously mentioned that the Jews of Khaybar sided with the disbelievers who attacked Madinah Munawwara, as it happened in the Battle of Khandaq, and in fact instigated it. They even instigated it. It has also been mentioned how Huyay ibn Akhtab and Abu Rafi, Salam ibn Abi Huqayq, the two Jewish leaders adopted by the other Jews of Khaybar, went to the Quraysh and other Arab tribes, inciting them to fight against the Muslims, resulting in an army of 10,000 soldiers ultimately attacking Madinah Munawwara in the Battle of the Trench, Khandaq. And the Jews of Khaybar also participated in this battle. Allahu Akbar. This is how mischievous this bunch of people were, yeah, dear viewers. And may Allah guide us to know the difference between our friends and enemies. These were the people who would plot and plan against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, forge schemes against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is mentioned that Huyay ibn Akhtab was killed in the battle of Banu Qurayza, while Abu Rafi' was killed by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Atiq in the 6th year after Hijra. Yet the Jews of Khaybar still plotted against the believers, driven by the fire of revenge burning in them. Thus, they planned yet another attack on Madinah Munawwara, convincing the tribe of Ghatfan, who were a powerful and dominant tribe neighboring Khaybar, to join forces with them. Dear viewers, they combined their wealth and warfare experience with the Jews of Khaybar and the tribe of Ghatfan, made for a formidable army. In the middle of all of this, this battle began. When the news of combined forces of the Jews of Khaybar and the tribe of Ghatfan reached Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam proceeded with an army of 1,600 companions and marched to Khaybar to resist the attack. Dear viewers, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed Sayyidina Siba ibn Urfuta al-Ghifari as the governor of Madinah Munawwara in his absence. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 3 flags which he sallallahu alaihi wasallam handed over to 3 companions, Sayyidina Al-Hubab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Ubadah, were each given a flag, and Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala was given the prophetic standard. Allahu Akbar. The noble wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyida Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha, also accompanied him in this battle. Dear viewers, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslim army reached the outskirts of Khaybar at night and entered the city in the morning after performing Salatul Fajr. When some Jews who were leaving to go to work on their plantations, they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslim army, they began to shout, "By God, Muhammad has come with an army." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khaybar has been defeated, for undoubtedly when we descend onto the plains of a group of people, their day is ruined." Allahu Akbar. This was the glad tiding of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the conquest of Khaybar. Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala, he narrates that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam approached Khaybar, the companions began proclaiming the takbir loudly. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned to them and said, "Go easy on yourselves. You are not calling out to someone who is deaf or absent, but you are calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is all hearing and the ever present." Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abu Musa radiallahu ta'ala further narrates in the hadith that I was riding behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam reciting La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, that there is neither any ability nor power except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this, he called out to me and said, "Shall I not inform you of a statement that a treasure from the treasures of paradise, that it is a treasure from the treasures of paradise?" I replied, "Why not, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? My parents are ransomed for you." And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "It is La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." And this has been mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. What a beautiful wazifa. Dear viewers, hold fast to it because it is given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers, now the preparation of the Jewish people, it began for the battle of Khaybar. And the Jews moved their women and children into a fortified fort and stored their food provisions and ammunition in a fort called Naim. They gathered their soldiers in the forts of An-Nataah and Al-Qamus. The most fortified of them was the fort of Al-Qamus. The Jews had fortified themselves inside this strongholds, but the Muslims, they infiltrated each of these fortresses one after the other. Subhanallah. Marhab, this person by the name of Marhab, who was famed for possessing the strength of 1,000 men, he commanded the fort of Al-Qamus, while an ill Salam ibn Mishkam was in charge of Nataah. The Jews were comprised of an army of approximately 20,000 soldiers. The first battle, dear viewers, took place at the fort of Naim. Sayyidina Mahmud radiallahu ta'ala fought courageously and valiantly. He was overcome by exhaustion and thirst from the heat of the sun and fell asleep as he rested against the fort's wall. A Jew by the name of Kinana ibn Abi Huqayq spotted Sayyidina Mahmud radiallahu ta'ala sleeping and threw a boulder onto him from the roof of the fortress, crushing the head of the noble companion radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This companion in this manner achieved martyrdom. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam already knew that the tribe of Ghatfan would assist the Jews of Khaybar and therefore strategically placed his army's headquarters at Ar-Raji, a place between Khaybar and Ghatfan. It was from this very base that the Muslims would march forth to attack the fortresses of Khaybar, leaving the provisions of war, tents and women at this base. Dear viewers, as this battle unfolded further, the fortresses after Naim were easily conquered, save the fortress of Al-Qamus, where the Jewish forces were concentrated under the leadership of Marhab, the fiercest Jewish soldier. Conquering this fort proved greatly difficult, for it was the strongest and most heavily protected, and for some days attempts to capture it proved unsuccessful. On the first day, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala with a battalion to conquer it, who attacked bravely yet was driven away by an onslaught of arrows fired at them from the ramp of the fort. Despite heavy fighting, they were not able to conquer it. Allahu Akbar. This is how difficult they made it and how strongly they had fortified this fortress. And on the second day, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent even Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu with a group of men who, after fighting tenaciously, were also unsuccessful in conquering it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Tomorrow I shall give this standard to a man in whose hand Allah shall grant us victory. He is an individual who loves Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whom Allah and His Messenger love." Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. The narrator of the hadith, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, then continues saying that, the Sahaba, they were very excited. The people spent the entire night restlessly wondering who the flag would be given to. Allahu Akbar. Because beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already gave them the glad tidings. This will be a person who loves Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in return Allah and His Rasul also love him. Subhanallah. The following morning, dear viewers, the companions presented themselves in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, each desiring to be that person. For he was assured of this, that being a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning he was declared to be a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third is that Khaybar shall be conquered at his hands. Subhanallah. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he narrates that on this day I yearned for the flag to be given to me, adding, "Never in my life did I wish to command a battalion as much as I did on this day." Subhanallah. Look at the enthusiasm of the Sahaba to follow into the commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It can be gathered from the narration of Sayyidina Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu that it had also been the desire of the other companions to be given this flag. Subhanallah. Dear viewers, these are the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ever ready to sacrifice themselves in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this should be our attitude. And in the morning, dear viewers, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the companions as to where Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala was, to which they replied that he had some ailment in his eyes. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called for Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. When Sayyidina Ali came, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his blessed saliva into the eyes of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which immediately alleviated the pain and cured it, as there had been no ailment in the first place. Subhanallah. This is the mu'jiza of the Mubarak Lu'ab and the saliva of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gave the flag to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And the flag was made from a black mantle belonging to Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. Subhanallah. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then gave the following instruction to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. "O Ali, march forth and invite the Jews towards Islam. Inform them that after accepting it, certain rights of Allah become compulsory upon them. By Allah, if even one person accepts Islam due to your propagation, is far greater than for you than possessing red camels." Upon the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala went forth and arrived at the fortress of Al-Qamus. He invited the Jews towards Islam, but they responded to the invitation with arrows and stones. Allahu Akbar. Fully covered in military attire and wearing a helmet made of stone, Marhab, the commander of the fortress, arrogantly stepped forward for combat, saying boastfully to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the Muslim army that was under the command of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, appointed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said boastfully that Khaybar knows very well that I am Marhab, I am heavily armored. A valiant and experienced warrior in response to this, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded, Allahu Akbar, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I am the lion whose mother named him the lion. I am the one whose mother named him the lion. I am like the lion of the forest who strikes fear into the hearts. Marhab contemptuously stepped close to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and swung his sword. The lion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, managed to block his attack and launched his own attack, counter-attack. And he struck Marhab's head with Zulfiqar, the sword given to him by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zulfiqar sliced through the skull of Marhab to his teeth, and with his strike, he instantly fell to the ground dead. Allahu Akbar. Seeing the corpse of Marhab hitting the ground, the Jews attacked Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala all together. However, Zulfiqar in the hands of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala struck the Jews like lightning, and their ranks were sliced with the bravest and the most able fighters. Subhanallah. The likes of Marhab, Al-Harith, Yasir, Amir, and others, they were all struck down by the Zulfiqar of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and the blows of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During the frenzied fighting, the shield of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala broke and fell to the ground. It was at this moment that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala moved forward and single-handedly unhinged the door of the fort of Al-Qamus and used it as a makeshift shield. It was a door so heavy that not even 40 strong men could move it after the battle ended. Subhanallah. This is how the Muslims were victorious under the command of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah, the conqueror of Khaybar. And this is how the Muslims were victorious. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he foretold that Khaybar will be conquered, and so did it happen. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Subhanallah. In this glorious victory, dear viewers, it is mentioned that Khaybar of Al-Qamus was conquered after a siege of 20 days. In this battle, 93 Jews were killed, while 15 Muslim soldiers, they attained the lofty station of martyrdom. Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers, it was in this very same year, the seventh year after Hijrah, that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made nikah with Sayyida Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made nikah with Ummul Mu'minin Sayyida Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Subhanallah. And she was belonging to a noble tribe. Allahu Akbar. And dear viewers, it is in this very year, in the seventh year after Hijrah, that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given poison. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained in Khaybar, as we just learned from the Battle of Khaybar, that he remained in Khaybar for a few days after its conquest. There existed a general environment of peace, and the Jews were treated exceptionally well. Allahu Akbar. After plotting and conspiring against the Muslims and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you imagine that he still treated them well? Allahu Akbar. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we should strive for. And it is mentioned that Zainab bint al-Harith, the wife of a Jew, invited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to a meal consisting of meat which she had poisoned, demonstrating the malice of, you know, they possessed for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had eaten a morsel, the meat was ordered by Allah to speak and inform Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it had been poisoned. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam consequently pulled his hand away from it, while a companion by the name of Bishr ibn al-Bara رضي الله تعالى عنه had unfortunately swallowed the poisoned meat. This proved fatal and he thus attained martyrdom. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the other hand, felt the effects of the poison from the morsel that he had consumed for the remainder of his life. Allahu Akbar. After the Jews were questioned regarding the poisoning, they replied, "We deliberately poisoned your food in order to decide whether you are a true prophet or an imposter. You are a true prophet for it not killing you, and if you were an imposter, it would have killed you and saved us from you." Allah, Allah. This was the treachery that they had displayed against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims. Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers, it was in this very same year, in the seventh year after Hijrah, that Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he returned from Abyssinia, from the migration of Abyssinia, Habasha, and there were some laws that were defined by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the very same year after the conquest of Khaybar, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proclaimed, and he said, "All birds of prey that kill with talons were declared unlawful." This was the law made by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Donkeys and mules were also declared unlawful to consume. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered that all gold in exchange for gold and all silver sold in exchange for silver should be in equal measures. Any increase or decrease in the amount of gold or silver, either the buyer or the seller, would be riba, usury, and thus it will be deemed haram, forbidden. There were many other laws that were passed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this juncture in the pages of Seerah, that also it was in the same year, seventh year after Hijrah, that the battle of Wadi al-Qura took place, and the truce of Fadak also took place in this very same year, and the compensatory performance of Umrah al-Qadha, it also transpired in the same year, seventh year after the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And dear viewers, it was in this same year that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Sayyida Maymuna during this journey of Umratul Qadha, and she was the sister of Sayyida Ummul Fadl, the wife of Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and was granted the honor of being the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after returning from Umratul Qadha, and at the place called Sarif. Incidentally, this is also the place where Sayyida Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha would pass away 44 years later and be laid to rest. The year of her demise, according to the soundest opinion, is 51 AH. Dear viewers, try to make amal on whatever we learn in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the beautiful sunnahs that we learn when we are learning the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our master, inshallah, and it will make our lives Madina as it is the mission statement of your fragrant movement of Quran and Sunnah, Dawat-e-Islami, that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world, inshallah, azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
Oh Allah, increase our love to the Prophet.